We are continuing our series, Great Expectations. It's our series for Lent, working up towards Easter, about the expectation of what happens around Easter. And I want to read a psalm to you and then talk to you about a few things. Psalm chapter 21, and it goes like this. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. We've got a problem, and I kind of touched on it a little bit, but sin in the world has created some problems for us, wrongdoings, disobedience, and has made mankind feel quite helpless. That's why people are running around trying to search for certain things, trying to self-help, which is all good in itself, but if that's what you worship, if that's what you think is the last thing, maybe you might want to refocus. Problems of life are always causing us to try to figure out what could be the answer to our issues, to our struggles. And a lot of those events cause grief that we go through. A lot of our struggles and problems in life are our pain. They weigh heavy on us. They bear down on us. It just feels like it's on top of us at all times. And there are some times in life when we walk through certain issues and problems that it seems so heavy we have no idea what to do or where to look. And that's why there's so many different types of self-help type things out there, billion-dollar industry, billions of dollars, on how to deal with problems in life. I want to remind you this morning that God pays attention to what he has created. I want you to know that he hears your cries. He hears your struggles. He also hears your praises. We don't want to leave that out. We don't want to always be focused on the negatives, but life is a struggle sometimes. And God has promised through Jesus Christ to deliver us in the end. We're in this season of Lent, and Lent is a time where you can be reminded that God hears your prayers. And when I say that, when I say God hears your prayers, what do you instantly think? You think, well, I've prayed to him before and he hasn't answered. He hears us, but that's not the plan. And he's like, I know you're struggling. I know you want this. I know you're focusing in on whatever it is that you're asking him for, to fix, to do, to whatever. But that's not necessarily his plan. Now, if you look at the opening lines of Psalm 121, they may sound familiar to you. Verse 1 and 2, it says, I lift my eyes to the mountain. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. It opens with a question that we all ask. That anyone in this world, anyone in this life is going to ask, who is going to help me in my time of need? Who is going to help me? Now, nowadays, we're very much used to being helped fairly much instantly. We can call 911 and police, fire, ambulance, whatever you need is coming to help you. But when it's something that you can't necessarily quantify, that you can't necessarily grab some teeth onto, you don't know what it is, where does your help come from in your time of need? Who is going to help you? And these verses there's 8 verses in this psalm, and 7 of the verses are about who God is and what he does. Who God is and what he does. But it starts out with us having to take the initiative. You see, when you need help, you look upward. You draw near to God. We're told in Scripture, in James 4:8, and he will draw near to you. Picture when you were a child. Picture when you needed help. Remember how big your parents looked? Do you remember how big they were? You know, you would this little help, and what would they do? They'd come down and pick you up. Didn't always fix the problem. You know, there was a time when I was little, and I remember this very clearly. Pain is very good at making you remember things. My mother said to me, "Don't put your hand on that stove." And I went, "What does she know? I'm five. I can do whatever I want." And I put my hand on the stove. All she could do was run my hand under cold water. She told me not to do it, but I did it anyways. You see, a lot of times, we treat God like this. He says, you know what, here's some things, here's some parameters. Here's some parameters you should stay in. And we decide we know better with our five-year-old awesomeness, and we put our hand right on the stove. And then what does God do? Now, God's not, he doesn't get mad at you, he just pulls you aside, runs cold water under your hand. But guess what? The burn is still there. The consequences from your actions and disobedience are still there. That's life. That is life. And a lot of times we question God and say, "Why is this happening to me?" And in many cases, it's you. You're why it's happening to you. That doesn't mean all of it. It doesn't mean there are things that you can't control that are impacting you. But a lot of times, we need to take responsibility for what we do in our actions. Same as in relationships. We need to take responsibility for our relationships, whether it be a spouse, a friend, whatever it is, co-workers. Take responsibility. There's an old saying, you get what you put into it. It's an old saying, because it's true. You get what you put into it. God is painting a picture. And in my mind, it's a child reaching up for help. Where does my help come from? It comes from the Father. You'll ask the question, well, why isn't God taking these issues, these problems away? And the only way I can explain it to you is this. And it sounds harsh, but if you really think it through, you'll see what God did throughout Scripture, and you'll go, oh. God cares more about your spiritual life, your character, who you are as a person, than he cares about your physical issues. Okay, and now, again, don't get me wrong. God cares about all of you. But his priority, if I was going to prioritize something, if I was going to put right here for God, what does he prioritize? He prioritizes your spiritual walk and your character. Then he'll deal with some of, you know, the things that you want to sort out, physical stuff, relationships. That's all secondary in the way I view and see God. I challenge you to try and prove me wrong by opening up this, not mine, get your own, I'll buy you one, and go through it and see. Because I'll tell you right now, every time you think Israel wasn't asking the same question, walking through the desert, why oh why? And then God provides in his way, not the way they wanted, but the way he wanted, and they still complained. We do the same thing. We have to get to a place where we trust him fully. And that's a difficult place to be. There's things that God has done throughout my whole life where I know his hand was on me. At the time, he was really irritating. He bothered me a lot. I was angry. Why am I going through this? I look back now and go, oh, thank you, Lord. You knew better. But I did not. Mountains are things we face in life. Mountains represent challenges, struggles. And there's times when you're in a valley and you're not sure what to do, where to go, because when you look up, everything is so large. But when you do look up and you cry out to God, we see in the Psalms that He promises to hear you, and now get this, take care of you. He promises to hear you and take care of you, but it might not be the way you think He should. It might not be what you want or how you want Him to take care of you. Fast forward and look back, and you'll see, oh, that's why I went through what I did and how I came out the other side, because I looked to Him. You can still be angry with God. You can be frustrated with God. You can be honest with God. That's okay to cry out to Him and be frustrated. But do not lose that hope, because He's promised He hears you and He's going to take care of you. And I have to look at these verses where in Psalm, the second verse, 121, it says, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." I want to read something to you. It's the Apostles' Creed. I want to read this to you. We haven't heard it in a bit, and I want to read it for you. It says, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead on the third day, rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church." Small c, Catholic is universal, is what it means, the universal church, so everyone. "The communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the everlasting life. Amen." The very first part of this, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of the heaven and earth." But practically speaking, this verse is saying God created everything, and therefore there is nothing on earth, no experience, no problem, no, nothing that you might encounter that's outside the scope of His knowledge and His ability. No matter who may fail you, no matter who will let you down in this life, when it comes to figuring out the best course of action, God will always, always know what to say. As He has said it in Scripture many times to us, if we're in the Word, we'll hear what He has to say. But God will always know what to say and do what He needs to do when it comes to what you're going through. There's so much noise out there with people trying to say, you got to put your trust in this system of how to get through life, and you got to put your faith in this system, whatever that may be. And our culture is looking to almost everything but God. They're looking at self, they're looking at other people, they're looking at careers, they're looking at other relationships, they're looking at fame, money, and then it moves into alcohol, it moves into drugs, and the list can go on, because we're looking for anything to fix what's wrong with us. And God is saying, "I created you, I'm going to work on you, I'm going to walk you through this, but it might not be what you think. What you think you need to do, it might be what I want you to do, and it will be what I want you to do and how I want you to go through this." So when mankind is hurting and is struggling, what do we look for? Well, we put it in material, something we can grab onto, something we can hold. Well, let's simplify this. God is this being that we cannot see, we do not know. We can't see Him in the physical, right? He came, but we don't get that privilege of seeing Him in the physical. But what could God possibly do to give you something to hold on to physically, materially, to hold on to so that you will recognize Him for what He is? It's very simple. It's His Word. It's the Word of God. He gave you a physical manuscript of how He thinks and what He does. And instead of reaching for fame, for the bottle, for drugs, for something else, for a different lifestyle, whatever it is you want, reach for this. Reach for Scripture. He will guide you. But it's going to be one of the hardest things you've ever done, because guess what? He's going to deal with you. And that, I was going to sing Michael Jackson, "I'm Looking at the Man in the Mirror," but I thought, well, maybe I don't know if I can hit that note this morning. But when you look in the mirror, they've written books on this. There's an old book, I think it's from the 70s or 80s, called Man in the Mirror, and it talks about how you need to deal with yourself every morning. But this will show you, it's not to beat you up. This isn't to beat you up. Because we all know there's a problem. Whether you believe in God, you're a Christian, you go to church, you don't go to church, we all know there's a problem. There's this big, giant gap of emptiness, and we're going to fill it with whatever we want to fill it with in order to cope. Psychiatrists, psychologists, counselors deal with this all the time. Coping mechanisms. They are incredible. We use everything, whether it's food, whether it's relationships, whatever. I mean, name it. Anything you put to fill a hole, to fix a problem, is a coping mechanism. We have to look at ourselves. Communion is about analyzing those things. Communion is about looking at yourself and your relationship with God. And that is difficult. Because we make mistakes. But God knows that. He's got big shoulders. He can handle it. No matter what. And you know, we try to hide things from him. You can't hide it. You can't hide it. He knows. So just tell him. And let him work on you. Let him sort it out. I don't know if you remember in the 80s. Some of you weren't born, but I'm going to give you a little flashback to the 80s. It's my era. I love it. There's a song by Johnny Lee. "Looking for love in all the wrong places." Some of you are like, what? Not the Saturday Night Live version with Eddie Murphy. A different version. Some people are like, who's Eddie Murphy? Don't worry about it. But the 80s, man. We were cool. I had great hair then. My hair's all right now. But I didn't have to put so much product in it, and it wasn't gray. The man in the mirror is always looking for love in all the wrong places. It's so good they wrote a song about it. What are you going to do? What are you going to fill? Oftentimes we look for help in the wrong places. And instead of lifting up our eyes to God, we search for somewhere else. We go somewhere else. Because it's easier. Because I don't have to look at that person in the mirror. I don't have to deal with my own issues if I just deal with this other thing. If I go this way. If I go, oh, you know what? I'm going to bury myself in relationships. That should fix this problem for me. And then what happens when you come back and look in the mirror? You still got this problem, this issue, this struggle, whatever. So I have to ask you the question, where do you turn for answers? Where do you turn? Nowadays, you just pull up, you Google it. Hey, how do I get rid of this problem? I'm not saying that's not valid, but that shouldn't be the first place we look. If we're in the Word, I would prefer God to direct me than Google on dealing with issues. Do you turn to other ways? Do you turn to Google? Do you turn to other types of research before you turn to God on how to deal with things that you're going through? This season of Lent is about repenting from our sins, turning to God for forgiveness. And this can become very tiresome and discouraging when we're stuck in this cycle of sin and think we're not worthy of God's attention. If you were not worthy of God's attention, he would not have died for you. Let that sink in. This Scripture teaches us that God pays attention to the little things. And you know, as we said, we're little. Compared to the universe, if you look at the earth compared to our size, we're nothing. The sun, you could fit 1.3 million earth-sized planets in the sun. And God made that sun. And God made this earth. As well as an infinity of other stars, suns, solar systems that we can't even imagine to think how vast that is. Everything on earth is small in comparison to the size of the universe, but the maker of heaven created this. And we can pray to him. We can ask for help. And when we pray, we know that God hears what we say. We can have confidence that he hears our prayers because God never grows tired. The problem comes when we think how we should solve our own answers and our own problems. And Psalm 121, 3 to 4 demonstrate this. We read verse 3 and 8 that God will preserve and keep his people, and he is able to do that because he never grows weary, he never sleeps. Have you ever tried, perhaps because of children, to do an overnight drive on a vacation? Anyone ever tried to do red eye with children? Yeah. Even with candy, coffee, 5-hour energy drinks, I don't know if you know about those, but those are a hoot. It's pretty difficult and almost impossible to drive all night long without some kind of assistance. Human bodies break down. We break down. We grow weak. But God is not like that. He never sleeps. He never misses anything due to any weaknesses. He's all powerful, all knowing. Most parents with young children know that the best part of the day is when the kids go down for a nap. Because then they can sit down, put their feet up, and take a rest. Remember those days? Love my kids. Love them. But when they were little, it was go, 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 go. It was exhausting. When they were done and went for a nap, I'm like, yes, this is me time, man. God doesn't need that. He doesn't put his feet up and like, yes, they're finally asleep tonight. I don't know about you, but I like a God that's moving constantly, that's always doing something. That to me gives me peace that I can close my eyes. He's gonna let the world spin. He's gonna take care of that. I don't have to worry about it. You know, usually I like to help him out a little bit, but you know, I give him a break when I go to sleep. As a joke, okay? Sometimes I do it for me. Sometimes I might do it for you, but mostly the jokes are for me. In addition to watching you over through the night, God is actively keeping you. And I just want to go into this. Keep, or a variation of that word, shows up six times in this set of verses. The first time it shows up in your Bible is Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, where Adam and Eve were told that they were to keep the garden. Okay, so they're to work in the garden and to maintain it. And the Greek, or the Hebrew word is shamar. And the Lord keeps you. And this is really important, and because it's in these verses that the tie-in is unbelievable. God keeps you like Adam and Eve were supposed to keep the Garden of Eden. And you go, oh, well, that's nice. He keeps me. Well, no. Because he's moving around. Because he's tilling. He's tilling the dirt in your life. He's turning things upside down in your life. He's pruning. Love a prune. Love a good pruning. Walking you through stuff when it's difficult, getting off the issues of character that need to be dealt with. And as he prunes, he's feeding and growing you. I don't know if there's a lot of gardeners in here. I find it extremely difficult to garden. Some of you don't understand it, why, but I just, if you can grow stuff in the cracks of cement but can't grow it on a pile of dirt, you got a problem, and I got a problem, people. I can't grow anything. I tried. I killed so many palm trees, and people down the street have one. Why can't I have one? Why do you punish me so much? I've tried. You could give me the most invasive species and I'll murder it beyond recognition. So if you've got anything like ivy or mint, I'll gladly destroy it for you because I'm really good at it. As soon as I touch it, it's destroyed. So I look at that. God is always working. Always working on us. I can't do it myself. I can't do it. But he is. He's working in your character. He's making you become what he knows you have inside you and can be. All throughout Scripture, God talks about who you are in him and how you should view him. That's what he's doing. And in those frustrating times, put your faith in him. And God keeps you by this process of pruning and keeping you. It isn't simply that he keeps you from bad things, but he keeps you by purging all the garbage in your life. But again, as we mentioned at the beginning, you have to be willing. You have to choose. God is more concerned about your spiritual life and your character than he is necessarily about your physical well-being in a priority sequence. We all want to be healthy, but God wants you to be strong. We want bad things to never happen to us, but God wants you to learn to see him through the storm, through the struggle, through the trial. And the only way we're going to be able to handle anything that comes our way is when we put our trust in him. By making that choice, by getting into the Word. If you don't get into the Word, even when you're not feeling like it, if you're not in it, you're going to be stuck in the mud. Let's keep using this dirt analogy. Mud. I don't know about you, but it's pretty goopy. I've been to many barn fires where I've been stuck in mud. I've also seen people fall into the pig pit too, which is gross. But they have trouble getting out. You got to pull them out. When you're stuck, you need help. God's willing to do this if you look to him. And how do we look to him? We look to him through his word. So we know that God keeps us because of the wondrous events that lead up to Easter and because of Easter itself. Jesus faced the storm on the cross and he showed us the calm after the storm by his resurrection. See, do you see the patterns here? There's a storm. There's a problem. And then he walks you through it. It seems to me like we're fighting a battle that is going to happen anyways. So we might as well just be ready for it. And how do we get ready? By his word. We can be confident in that no problem is too small for God. We can be confident that judgment for every sin has been satisfied because of Jesus Christ on the cross. And that's our great expectation as we go through this season, Jesus on the cross, paying for all our sins and delivering us. This week, what are you looking at? Are you looking at the person in the mirror and deciding where you are with God? Are you analyzing your spiritual walk? And when you're going through struggles, are you looking up to him? And when things are good, and this is what we don't always talk about, when things are going well, are you still looking to him? Because it's easy to forget him when things are well and going on awesome. But we always come to him in the trials, which he's there, but he's also there in the highs. Let's not forget that. So as we go to Easter, let's focus on him. Let's pray.